Now, just before he comes up here, when I first met the governor Perdue, he says, "I'd like to talk to you." And I said, "You've probably been reading my tweets, haven't you?" Because he knows I'm an advocate for the family farmer. I'm an advocate for Midwestern agriculture, because that's what I know. And so we sat down and talked. And, you know, this guy, I shouldn't have bothered him worrying about whether or not I was going to be for him or against him. He's just the perfect person to be Secretary of Agriculture. Thank you very much, and come on up here.
I'll tell you the rest of the story. You know, Senator Grassley is famous for his tweets. And when I met with him in his office, I said, "Senator Grassley, who tweets for you?" He said, "I tweet for myself." So what he had tweeted was warning a Secretary of Agriculture from a particular section of the country that was above a certain line we call the Mason-Dixon line. But when I met him at that inauguration luncheon, I really had to chase him down. You know, he's pretty active. And I had to go over there and chase him down and his wife. And I said, "Senator, I need to speak with you. I'm Sonny Perdue. And you need to know that I got 12 grain elevators. All we do is corn, wheat, and beans, and I sell to an ethanol plant." He said, "You've been reading my tweets?" I said, "You bet I have." So I think he's a little more comfortable then, but I knew he was going to like me because my heart's in agriculture. I know he's been used to a Iowan former governor as a Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack, who did a great job. But I want to tell you something, Senator. I want to tell you all your family out here, I'll be happy to be an adoptive Iowa son here at Secretary of Agriculture. Great people. Meeting the Couser family, special. And we were talking upstairs here before we came down, and we talked about maybe the diversity of agriculture all across the country. It's different a little bit in Georgia than it is here. It's different in, obviously, the Northeast and the far West. But really, the people are the same. And they're hardworking. And if you could have heard what I heard this morning about this farm family and their scientific, biologic efforts of doing what they're doing here, folks, this just doesn't happen. And what they're doing is spreading across a very technical, scientific type of production system that's not only grows healthy, wholesome food, but also grows a healthy environment. And that's why it's great to be here on the Couser farm. Bill, you said it, you looked across over there and said it started there. I think it probably started out here. And will you grow in those crops, understanding that we're such an abundant, productive agricultural community across the U.S., we've got to have to find markets for those. And you know, when the prices were low, you needed another outlet. And that's what you all and your 700 investors came about and said, "We can do better. We not only can grow food and fiber for the world, but we can grow energy for the United States of America." And that's exactly what the ethanol industry has done. So thank you very much for your innovation, for your creativity in doing that. And I want to thank Congressman King for being here. We've had a great discussion. And I want to tell Senator Ernst, too, not only do I have a knife, I've used that knife before. And it was like I told Senator Leahy there in the committee, Senator. He said, "What do you know about dairy?" I said, "Senator Leahy, I can still taste that old slimy Holstein's mouth, tail cutting across the mouth as I milked on a cold January morning." So I tell you that for a little authenticity, you know. You don't forget those tastes and sights and sounds there. In fact, having grown up on a farm, graduated as a veterinarian, and then been in agribusiness since the middle 70s, the people of Georgia want to know, "Well, what qualifies you to be governor?" I said, "Well, it's pretty simple. I've already got the boots, the glove, and the shovel." So, we needed all those, and you cattle guys out here will know what glove I'm talking about. Well, it is great to be here, and It's great for, this isn't my first visit to Iowa. It's my first visit to Iowa agriculture here. I've loved your outdoor sports and have participated in those in Iowa. You got some nice deer and some wily turkeys and those kind of things and that I've enjoyed and pheasants. So I've been a participant in that. But it's especially to be here as Secretary of Agriculture, knowing what Iowa contributes to American agriculture. And I want to tell you that President Trump wanted me out here to let you all know that he understands that American agriculture is vital to the U.S. economy. And he understands that Iowa is vital to U.S. agriculture and that technology and science is vital. That is, we continue to learn. Not only do you have to be good producers like the Cowsers are, we've got to be great communicators. And to some degree, in the United States of America, we have become taken our abundant, safe, affordable food supply for granted. It just doesn't happen. The men and women of agriculture, represented by the Cowsers and many others here today, work very hard day in and day out. And Tim put it best. I like the way he said it upstairs. If he went and made a presentation to Shark Tank, talking about the investment, and then putting it all on the line year after year after year with the kind of expected return, they would laugh him out of there and wouldn't give him any money. But that's what our farm families do all across this country, year in and year out. And I just want to tell you, thank you for you all particularly, but as you represent the farmers and ranchers of America, God bless you. You're part of our national security. Thank you very much. It's great to have people with a heart for agriculture in the Congress, like your senators and like Congressman King, that know how people live on the farm here in Iowa and help us develop farm policy. I'm out here to learn really all over about that and this the innovative techniques that are grown on this farm here, and to communicate those best practices. We've had something in agriculture for many years called Extension Service, where we share best practices. But what we also learn, those are scientists and professionals and communicators from our land-grant universities that do basic research. But what they also find is they can also learn in reverse engineering. Seeing what innovative people like the Cowsers have done on their farms, they can take them all across and spread that virally across the rest of best management practices in agriculture generally. So the farm community doesn't have secrets. They like to share what works, and that's the great thing about being in the farm business and the agricultural business is we share with one another, and the American people, I'd say people all across the world, are the beneficiaries of that sharing, and the productive capacity is just astounding. I've told the president that American agriculture is absolutely the most productive, the most technologically advanced, productive manufacturing process we have in America today. And that means that men and women all across this country are working like the Cowsers to make that happen. So we got a lot of hardworking people in the USDA, and some of them are great communicators. In fact, I'm looking up here. They wrote me a 17-page speech now. Did y'all rather me do that or talk from my heart? Okay? There you go. So I hate it because I don't say what they tell me to say, but they should have known I was going to say what I wanted to say anyway. But anyway, my heart's in agriculture, and we're going to make sound science, facts-based, data-driven decisions, because that's what works, isn't it, Bill? That's what you've done here. If you could hear him describe, I hope the press caught the fact that the degree slope on these monoslope barns, how they are designed just for the right protection in the wintertime and in the summertime, these are technological scientific types of calculations, both engineering. I look at these fine young folks over here. I'd rather look this way. I look at these fine young FFA folks here. You see what a diverse crowd we got here? And think, this is the future of agriculture. And these young people, along with Tim and his age, are going to be the ones that communicate the great story of agriculture. Coop, I don't know where you are, but God bless you. There are men and women across this country working with FFA day in and day out. These are the leaders of America, and not only in agricultural production, but in leadership, in communication, in telling the story. No longer can we just be good producers. You can't be just as efficient as the Couser family in crop and cattle production, but we got to be great communicators. We owe it to the consumers of the United States as well as the world to let them know that we're concerned about their safety, the wholesomeness and nutritional capacity of the food they consume. They deserve to know, and we ought to be able to tell them. As I said, Bill, we ought to be unapologetic about how we do things in animal agriculture. And I'd love for the activists to come here to your farm and see how well those cattle are cared for, how you treat them, and how you move them around in a way that helps them. You said something earlier today I thought was pretty neat. If our young people of America were as vaccinated, healthy, as cared for, fed as well, we wouldn't have a problem of health in America today. So that's a testament of what you're doing to these cattle. And so what are we going to do about trade? Governor Branstad and I are going to go to China and sell all the Iowa beef we can, right? And, you know, I told the people upstairs, what you all did here in Iowa in 1984 is having impact in 2017. You know what you did? You were hospitable to a group of five young Chinese men that came to Iowa to learn what was the magic and the majesty of American agriculture. And you treated them like you would treat me coming in, as friends, as neighbors, and you were hospitable to them. You know what? That made an impression on those five young men. You continue that relationship. Governor Branstad was part of that. You continue that relationship, and guess who one of those five men are today? The president of the second largest economy in the world, President Xi of China. And he remembers. He remembers your kindness. He remembers your hospitality. And Bill has hosted, and Nancy have hosted people here. The Chinese will tell you they want American beef, and we're going to figure out a way to get it to them. These are technical discussions that are tough, but we're going to stay at it because people do business with people. And we want them to trust us that we're sending them a wholesome, healthy product. We're going to bring them to places like the Couser family and show them how that beef is produced. We're going to take them to the processors and show them how it's handled there with good employees of USDA inspecting that beef. That USDA stamp is a good housekeeping seal of approval worldwide. And that's what people want. We trust it. And the USDA has built their reputation over trustworthiness. We're trustworthy because we tell the truth, and that's what we want to be known, Bill, as truth tellers. Tim, when we go out and tell the truth about what we're having, inviting people into our homes and on our farms and ranches and say, take a look and tell me what you think, then we're going to convince 99% of the people of the value of American agriculture. And that's what we hope to tell that story all across the world. So are we going to sell it? We're going to sell it. You grow it, we'll sell it. And we want to do that. Obviously, farm labor is a challenge in many parts of the country. I told the crowd upstairs, one of the things that I love to come up to Iowa, I'm a family guy. 45 years ago, I married a lady we met on our first date. She said she'd never do that again. But we've been married 45. What I didn't know then, that she was such a prolific grandmother. We got 14 grandchildren. And family is important. Extended family is important. And what I see when I come to Iowa is family is important. Multi-generational family. The love of the land, the love of what we do. Think about what a noble cause it is. Folks, there are a lot of businesses out there today that I don't want to be involved in, but I'm proud to be called an agriculturalist. Think about the nobility of what you do worldwide, whether it's pork, whether it's soybeans, whether it's corn, whether it's ethanol, growing energy independence for the United States. Think about that. The nobility of what we're called to do is a pretty awesome thing. That makes me sleep good at night, thinking about what we contribute worldwide. Our new motto in USDA is do right and feed everyone. We've got a hungry world out there. And we've got to be more innovative and more creative going forward than we've been even in the past. We got to think about, by 2050, how we're going to feed as much food production as we've had over the last 8,000 years. It's exponential, folks. When you see the curve, a hungry world, a growing middle class outside of the United States, the middle class of China, number-wise, is at parity in the United States. And guess what they want? When they get more money, what do they want? They want good cows or beef, don't they? And that's what we want to get for them. That's what they want is good food. They want better protein. They want pork, and they want chicken, and they want beef here, and they know and trust when it comes to the United States, and that's what we want to do. So we have a great story to tell. We're going to work on trade. We're going to work on farm labor, and I'm so proud of the president. Don't you like a politician that does what they say they're going to do?
Yeah.
And when the president came to Iowa and said, we're going to roll back these onerous, unproductive regulations that we put on American society, particularly American agriculture. Did you think he'd do it? You know he's already started doing it. And that's the good thing. He's rolled back some. And just last week, he signed an executive order calling for an interagency task force, of which he charged me to chair, with EPA, with labor, with energy, with commerce, and with many other interagencies. This president is committed to have Team USA, a holistic government that works for the American people and not against it. And that's the kind of guy I want to work for. So I had one farmer tell me one time, told the president last week, he said, Mr. President, he said, my farmers at home are scared when they step their foot out of the pickup in the morning, they may be violating some federal rule or regulation. And that's where it's gotten to. We want to let farmers farm again. We want to let ranchers ranch again. And we want to grow food for the world. We want to do right. It's an ethical component to that. We want to do right, honestly, transparently, but we want to feed everyone. And that's what we got the capacity to do. When you look at the productive capacity, these productive capacity just doesn't help. You ought to talk to the soil scientists over here, Nancy and Bill and Tim, about the things they do and the cover crops and how they generate a living biological organism of soil that is productive. And that's the kind of thing we're going to continue to do more of, and the challenge is out there. So I'm here in Iowa to learn. I'm not here to talk, but I'm here to learn. That's why I came to a very progressive farm where the cows are known for their innovation of doing things right and feeding a whole lot of people and also using everything. Bill took great pains to explain to me the intrinsic value of that kernel of corn and how many products it can do. If you go out and see his feeding operation here, there are various components of that. He's using everything. And in agriculture, we can't afford to waste anything. And ultimately, as we have the challenge of feeding 9 billion people, young people, we can't afford to waste. We've got to be more productive and more creative, more innovative, and that's where you guys will come into being. So God bless the FFA. God bless Iowa. God bless Iowa farmers, and God bless the United States of America. Thank you.